The recent Hainesboro election is officially contested, and winds pick up as crews keep working on raising the sunken tender Neptune. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. A candidate in the recent Hainesboro election filed an official contest of election Monday with the borough clerk. That means the clerk, borough manager, and borough attorney will now investigate whether any mistakes or wrongdoing took place during the October 2nd election. Artie Miller, a candidate running for re-election to the Haines School Board, filed the contest. Her race for the third seat on the school board is still too close to call. She is 4 votes behind Scott Dottridge for that seat. The winner should be determined Tuesday night when the assembly meets to canvass, meaning it will then count the absentee and question ballots. Normally, a contest would be filed after the canvass, but it's required to be filed before the certification, which was scheduled for October 22nd. However, Miller said she deliberately filed her contest before it was even determined if she won her seat or not, because she's not actually contesting her race for the seat, but the overall process.
But I did so quite deliberately because it's not about the outcome. Whether I win, lose, or draw, it's not about me, it's not about the outcome, it's about the process.
Miller alleges at least 2 instances violated election procedures on Election Day. In one instance, Miller said she saw an exchange between a voter and election worker where the worker told the voter the voting machine rejected their ballot because they didn't vote for 2 assembly candidates. Miller said the voter then returned to the voting booth. She writes the poll worker's comments constitute an influence by the borough on how people were voting. Several voters reported similar instances. Sometimes the voter insisted they did not want to vote for as many candidates as there were seats open, and the poll worker overrode the machine to let it accept the ballot. But poll workers also reported many voters returned to the voting booth to fill their ballot out entirely. Miller also alleges a poll worker referred a voter to a copy of the Chilkat Valley News when the voter asked how to spell a write-in candidate's name. The newspaper was on the same table as the sample ballots in the polling place, although it's not clear how it got there. Miller writes this violates election regulations prohibiting candidate information and paid advertisements within a certain distance of a polling place. When concerns were brought up on the day of the election about the voting machines not accepting undervoted ballots, Borough Clerk Julie Causey said it was not unusual. The borough gets the voting machines from the state and asks the state to calibrate the machines. Causey said the borough has always had the machines calibrated to refuse undervoted ballots. Causey said this is to allow voters a chance to fix their ballot if they mistakenly voted for fewer candidates than possible, but they should always be allowed the opportunity to override the voting machine if they choose. She also noted directions are posted in the voters' booth about this process, but Causey said more voters than usual seem to undervote their ballots this year. She said poll workers reported that many voters, although she didn't have a specific number, returned to the voting booth when they were told their ballot was incomplete. It also seems a change in how the ballot looks contributed to some confusion this election. This was the first election that voters selected from a slate of candidates rather than choosing a candidate for each office. For example, candidates used to have to choose a seat to run for. Sometimes they would be pitted against other candidates that also chose to run for that seat. But the assembly changed that process earlier this year. Now candidates simply file to run and they are all listed on the ballot and not separated by seat. The top vote-getters are elected to the open seats. Other voters had suggested they may file a contest, but Miller was the first to do so. As a candidate, Miller was able to file the contest herself. Any voter who voted in the election can also file a contest, but would need the support of 9 other voters. According to borough code, now that a contest has been filed, the assembly will order an investigation. After the investigation is complete, the assembly can decide how to proceed. If it decides there was a mistake or misconduct by election officials, then among other options, the assembly could decide to order another election. Miller bears the cost of the contest and investigation unless the assembly determines the election was invalid or they decide Miller shouldn't have to be responsible for the costs. The tender Neptune still sits on the bottom of the Haines Harbor as of Tuesday afternoon, continuing to leak diesel fuel, and gale force winds were not helping in the efforts to raise it. Lieutenant Ryan Erickson with the Coast Guard was on scene Tuesday to monitor cleanup efforts from the boat that sank early Saturday while moored at the harbor. Erickson said Marine salvager John Gitgoff of Seattle had hoped to try to raise the boat on Tuesday, but winds were gusting 30 miles per hour with gusts expected to reach up to 45. 9-foot seas were expected by evening. While the Coast Guard is not responsible for the salvage of the boat, Erickson said the agency is closely watching efforts because raising the boat is the only way to stop the fuel from leaking. The Neptune had about 1,600 gallons of fuel on board when it sank. It's still unclear how much has leaked out since Saturday. The heavy winds were also hampering the efforts of the cleanup crew with the Southeast Alaska Petroleum Resource Organization, or SEPRO. They had been using oil-absorbent pads in the harbor to mop up the fuel, but they halted that as the winds increased. On the upside, the strong winds were blowing from the south, keeping the leaking fuel blowing toward shore. Containment booms continued to keep fuel from escaping the harbor into Port Chilcoot and Lynn Canal. No sheens have been reported outside the harbor, Erickson said. He said the wind and rain will also help disperse the fuel. The containment of the fuel to the harbor also seems to have helped wildlife. Pam Randles with the Tuktoyaktuk Watershed Council scoped out the shoreline and walked parts of it around Port Chilcoot on Tuesday. She said she didn't see any affected birds or marine animals.
I found a whole bunch of critters, and none of them showed any signs whatsoever of any damage or illness or oil on their feathers or fur. And I probably saw 100 gulls and 75 crows and some mallards and some sparrows and some harlequin and golden-eyed ducks and a seal, and they were all fine.
Randall said the containment of the fuel to the harbor means birds and animals are able to easily avoid the sheen.
If they can avoid it, they will avoid it. And I think what happened, these guys were quick, and they got the booms up right away, so the only sheen that I saw was actually in the harbor inside the boomed area. So there was no sheen outside that the birds could not get away from or the seals could not get away from.
The field responder from the State Department of Environmental Conservation left Haines on Monday, but Coast Guard representatives are staying on scene until at least Friday. SEPRO and local harbor staff continue to assist fishermen and boaters. Boats must be washed down before leaving the harbor, and crews must move containment booms to allow boats back in. Winds are expected to die down by Wednesday mid-morning. A popular medevac insurer is back in business after a several-month shutdown. Fairbanks-based Apollo Meditrans failed to renew its license to operate in Alaska earlier this year. That meant it could not continue expiring policies or issue new ones. A company official called it an administrative mistake. Apollo was issued a state license in late August, but it needed to be reapproved by a larger company that provides the actual insurance. That happened, so Apollo is again selling and renewing policies. Meanwhile, Apollo has changed its rates. It used to charge $125 a year for nationwide air and ground medical evacuation insurance. The rate is now $100 for a household. It's limited to Alaska residents. It also sells a 3-week traveler's policy for $45 for one person needing a medevac in Alaska, the Yukon Territory, and northern British Columbia. Seattle-based Airlift Northwest, a medevac provider, sells a household policy for $99 a year. It covers Alaska, the Pacific Northwest, California, and a few other states. Moose season ended Monday with a total of 25 moose taken this year. 10 of those were a spike fork antler configuration, 11 were a 3-brow tine, 2 were 50 inches or bigger, and 2 were sublegal. Alaska state troopers are also investigating 2 moose that were shot in the area during the hunting season, but not reported to Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Both moose were left to rot in the field. There may still be undeclared moose since hunters have up to 3 days to report if they've killed a moose. But everyone is required to return their hunt report cards, whether they shot a moose or not. Hunters have 15 days from the end of the season to get their reports into Fish and Game. And a quick addition to a story we ran in our last newscast. We mentioned the Michael Mao Dance Company is performing Tuesday evening at the Chilkat Center in Haines, starting at 7 p.m. The troupe also has several events planned in Skagway this week. The troupe will conduct a free dance workshop on Friday, October 11th at 6 p.m. at the Skagway School. There will be a session for students and one for adults. The dancers will also perform an outreach program for students at the school during the day. Then, the troupe performs Saturday at the school beginning at 7 p.m. Visit skagwayartcouncil.blogspot for more information. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clequan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.